Peter Zavada from Institute of Physics in Prague. I am looking for for collaboration with you and to meeting with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Peter Christou from CERN.
I'm Edward Booth from Moscow State University.
Antonio Di Tanto, University of Bern.
And Scott Broadfair, Russia Research Center in Mayfi.
Laszlo Inkowski from Kiev.
Stanislav Dubnička from Institute of Physics, Slovakia, Bratislava.
Alexander Chiplokov, your secretary from Dubna.
Ishak Sruja, Weizmann Institute.
Richard Lednitsky, Joint Institute.
Виктор Матвеев, Joint Institute.
Григорий Трубников, Joint Institute.
Владимир Кикелидзе, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Андрей Арбузов, Боголюб Фаборти, Theoretical Physics.
Владимир Коренков, Laboratory of Information Technology.
Александр Сорин, Joint Institute.
Олег Денисов, ANFN and CERN spokesperson of the COMPS experiment.
Okay, thank you everyone. So now that we know everybody, I think we could start. Before that, I would like to make a couple of statements and make a double congratulation for our director, Viktor Matveyev. First, I think all the PAC joins me in congratulating you for being re-elected for a second term of the Joint Institute. I think that this puts the Institute in a continuing path. If you are very successful first 5 years, and we wish you the same for the same. Okay. The second congratulation also goes to Viktor, that celebrated recently his 75th birthday, and we wish you all the best. And this happy statement being said, I think we are now ready to go with our official schedule. The first thing is a short presentation by myself, so I'll go over there.
15 minutes.
Okay, so this is the usual introduction. The program will have essentially two parts. I'd like to remind you about the main recommendations that we made at our last PAC meeting back in June. What were the main things that we decided at that time? What has happened in the meantime, and the main event was the 120th meeting of the Scientific Council. So I will briefly review all those parts of the resolution of the Scientific Council that are relevant for our PAC, and then I will present the agenda of today's and tomorrow meeting. So, at the last PAC meeting, there were two significant milestones that were reported. The first one was the agreement between the Russian government and GINR on this mega grant that actually guarantees the realization from the budget point of view of the whole NICA project. The second big event was the signing of the protocol between the Russian Ministry of Education and Science, the Chinese Ministry of Science and Technology, the Chinese Academy of Science, and JNR for the prospects of collaboration within the NICA project, and I think there is some follow-up going on this after the signing of this agreement, and I believe we will hear maybe more once we go into the detailed presentations concerning NICA and the MPD. We had a series of progress reports at the last meeting, and I will just emphasize the main points that we heard last time. Concerning NICA, we had the successful commissioning of the LU20 linear accelerator and the acceleration of Deutron. At that time, the Deutron were unpolarized. In the meantime, there has been another run, so maybe there are news concerning the polarization of the Deutron beam. And I think that after the commissioning of the LU20, the main item on the timeline of the whole NICA project will be the booster, and I believe that we will be hearing about the progress on the booster at this meeting. Concerning the Nucleotron experimental program, the main headline were the two runs that were foreseen in 2016. Those runs took place in the summer and in the fall, and we are looking forward to hearing about the performance of the machines for those two runs. On the infrastructure development, the main progress item was the successful launch of the cryogenic complex, which turns out to be the largest one in Russia, with a capacity of 1,100 liters per hour. The completion of the facility for the production of superconducting magnets. So we will certainly hear an update on all those issues and further developments today. On the MPD, we were busy with technical design reports, preparation and process of approval by the Detector Advisory Committee. This is an ongoing work that for more than a year, and we will be very busy with TDRs again at this meeting. In addition to that, we emphasize the need to attract additional groups from outside Russia for the realization of the MPD project. And I hear that there are some progress in this direction, not only on China, but also from other places like Mexico. And I believe that we will be hearing a few more details later on. Concerning the BM at N, as you know, the BM at N will be the first experiment to exploit the NICA facility. First with the nucleotron beams that will be operational in about a couple of years from now. Therefore, that puts BM at N on a very, very tight timetable. Last time we were concerned about the delay in the production of GEMS at CERN, so we will hear what's going on in that front. And in particular, I think that we are looking forward to hearing detailed reports on the two technical runs that took place in 2016. I think that those technical runs are essential for the preparation and the of the BM at N experiment, and those are major milestones for the realization of this project. So, in summary, we are looking forward for the progress reports on the Nucleotron, NIC and BM at N and MPD. Concerning the DAC, in 2016 we had two meetings of the DAC for the MPD on April and on June. The BM at N had one meeting on June. This year, right after this meeting, starting tomorrow afternoon and continuing on Wednesday, the DAC for the MPD and the DAC for BMA10 will meet again here. So, again, the main item to discuss will be the TDRs of the MPD and the preparedness of the BMA10 for being ready on time once the nuclotron beams are available. Now, the Scientific Council meeting took place on September 22 and 23rd of 2016. Unfortunately, I could not come for that meeting and give the usual report from the PAC-PP. So I'm very grateful to our secretary, Alexander, that made the presentation on my behalf. And I will just show you some highlights from the Scientific Council meeting, in particular those that are relevant for the for our PAC. So the first thing is the Scientific Council congratulates Professor Viktor Matveyev on his re-election as director of GINR for a second term of 5 years and wishes him much success in leading this international center and developing a solid strategy for its sustainable development in the long-term future. So we just joined our good wishes also at the beginning of this meeting. And on the seven-year plan, the management presented at the Scientific Council the final draft of the scientific of the seven-year plan. And this was very welcomed by the Scientific Council. And in particular, the Scientific Council recommends that the GINR Finance Committee and the Committee of Plenipotentiaries approve the presented seven-year plan with an understanding that will be updated on a year-by-year basis with the actual situation taken into account. Concerning the NICA project, I mean, you can go and read all that. In practice, the Scientific Council took one by one all the items that we discussed at our meeting of in June, and they basically approved and endorsed all of them. So I will not read the list for you. This also goes for all the recommendations that we made. The bottom line is this, is that the Scientific Council endorsed all the recommendations of the PAC-PP. So this is the agenda of today's and tomorrow's meeting. You have it in front of you, so you know what is in. The highlights of the main items that we will be discussing are here. The updates on the NICA, MPD, and BTMN. Detailed reports on the 2016 nucleotron runs. I think this is a major report. Also, we will hear reports from ALICE, ATLAS, and CMS, and a few new projects that are seeking or seeking continuation or that are newly presented. So that's all what I have. Thank you for your attention.
Are there any questions
Unless
to each other?
There are questions, yes, please.
Comments? No? Thank you again.
The next item of the agenda is a detailed report from the meeting of the Scientific Council, and this will be given by Vice Director Richard Lednitsky.
Good morning, everybody, but it seems that it does not... So I'm supposed to give short information about the 120th session of Scientific Council and the meeting of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries of Governments. So the agenda of Scientific Council is shown, of this session of Scientific Council is shown on this slide. So first of all, there was a director's report. Then there was presented final draft of the seven-year plan for the years 2017 to 2023. Then progress report about NICA project and super heavy element factory. Recommendations of the program advisory committees about memberships of the PACs. And then reports by young scientists as recommended by program advisory committees, and two scientific reports and presentation of awards and prizes by the director. So there was already some information given by Itzhak, so I will probably skip some issues. So the committee took note of comprehensive report presented by director which give information about the latest sessions of latest session of Committee of Plenipotentiaries in April 2016, implementation of the recommendations of the 119th session of the Scientific Council, and the status of JNR priority projects, recent results of research activities, international cooperation, and some organizational issues. So already Itzhak said that there was a signed agreement between Russian government and Joint Institute about support of the construction and exploitation of NICA complex and international mega project to be realized in the territory of Russia Federation. The Scientific Council congratulated the Institute for its international recognition in the discovery of new superheavy elements through the proposed naming of the elements Moscovium and Oganesson. So there was also congratulation admitted to our director, Viktor Matveev. Concerning recommendations with respect to draft of the seven-year plan, it was also shown by Itzhak. The Scientific Council agreed with recommendations of the program advisory committees and support this seven-year plan and recommended the Committee of Plenipotentiary to approve it in present form and update it by an year-by-year basis in accordance with the actual situation of the Institute. Also, it admitted attracting and educating young personnel, especially for running of the super heavy element factory and the NICA complex as an extremely important point. The Scientific Council encouraged the Directorate to take all appropriate measures in this direction. The Scientific Council took note of the report progress of the NICA project presented by the Director of the Laboratory of High Energy Physics, Vladimir Kikelidze, and expressed satisfaction with the dynamic and comprehensive efforts being taken on this flagship project of the Joint Institute. It appreciated the progress in developing the Nucleotronica Accelerator Complex, including the commissioning of the new 4-injector of the linear accelerator, the installation and testing of the linear accelerator heavy ion LINAC, and the testing of the new polarized source. At the same time, the Scientific Council expressed concern about the delay in manufacturing the superconducting magnets and encouraged intensified work to eliminate this delay. The Scientific Council recognized the efforts of BMN collaboration towards testing and commissioning new detector subsystems It welcomed the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding of Participation of the CBM Silicon Track System Group in construction of 4 wide aperture silicon stations for this detector. It also welcomed the signing of the agreement between MPD collaboration and participation participants from China for placing an order for to manufacture the electromagnetic calorimeter modules. It appreciated the implementation of the contracts for manufacturing the MPD superconducting magnet and congratulated the collaboration management on ensuring good progress of work on this very important element. Recommendation in respect of super heavy element factory, the Scientific Council took note of the report status of this factory and its future prospects presented by the director of Fleur of Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, director Sergei Dmitriev. It appreciated the high pace of construction of the factory experimental building, noted with satisfaction the beginning of installation work of the new cyclotron DC-280 in accordance with the schedule proposed by the directorate and supported the proposed program of first experiments planned this factory in 2018-2019. It recommended the Joint Institute and the laboratory, Fleur Laboratory Directorates to give special attention to timely completion of the construction of this factory and to the installation and commissioning of the new accelerator and instrumentation which will allow first experiments at the factory to begin. Given the high priority of the super heavy element factory under construction, the Council recommended that the GNR Directorate ensure full support for the execution of work toward the successful launch and further development of the factory. So there was also a recommendation in connection with the PAC, as mentioned by Itzhak. All recommendations of this PAC were agreed by the Scientific Council. The Scientific Council appreciated the preparatory steps being taken by the Directorate in establishing a PAC for nuclear methods and biology and medicine. Concerning the membership of the PACs, as proposed by the Directorate, the Scientific Council appointed an Kargilov from Germany as a new member of the PAC for condensed matter physics for a term of 3 years and thanked E. Burzo for his successful work as a member of this program advisory committee. Concerning the reports by young scientists, there was 3 reports: matter effects in neutrino oscillations for NOVA experiment, anthropogenic effects of the coastal phytoplankton studied by neutron activation analysis, and analysis of small angle synchrotron X-ray scattering experimental data from vesicular system by means of the parallel asynchronous differential evolution method, which was given by the speakers Kolupayeva from Jelepov laboratory, Nechorošov from Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and Žabitskaya from Laboratory of Information Technology. Scientific Council thanked the speakers and welcome similar reports in the future. Concerning invited reports, Scientific Council highly appreciated the reports latest results of the ALICE experiment and detector upgrade plans and nuclear paleontology space experiments and recent results, and thank the speakers, Professors Giubilino from CERN and Mitrofanov from Space Research Institute Moscow, for their excellent presentations. There were also given awards and prizes. The Scientific Council endorsed the proposal of the Joint Institute Directorate to award the title Honorary Doctor of Joint Institute to Professor Didak from Austria, in recognition of his outstanding contribution to the advancement of science and the education of young scientists. It approved the jury's recommendations on the award of the Jelepov Prize to Professor Budagov from Joint Institute for the development and construction of a unique laser metrology system for measuring the angular oscillations of the Earth's surface. The Scientific Council congratulated to Professor Bellini from Italy on receiving the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize and appreciated his scientific report, The Impact of the Borexino Results on Neutrino and Solar Physics. The Scientific Council congratulated the winners of Joint Institute Annual Prizes for best papers in the fields of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research, who received diplomas at this session. Concerning the election of the director of Fluorophore Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, the Scientific Council agreed with the proposed made by the JNN director, Viktor Matveev, to postpone the election of this director, previously announced for February 2017, by 1.5 or 2 years. The final decision for a new election date will be taken at the 122nd session, second session of the Scientific Council in September 2017. Now some information about the session of Committee of Plenipotentiaries of Joint Institute. A regular session of Committee of Plenipotentiaries was held in Krakow, Poland, in November 21st, 22nd. Last year, and it was chaired by the plenipotentiary of the Republic of Bulgaria, Lucezar Kostov. The agenda is shown on this slide. There was again recommendations, report by Viktor Matveev, recommendations of the 120th session of Scientific Council, brief overview of the results of joint institute activities in 2016, and plans for next year. Main directions of the strategic development of JNR for the years 2017-2023. Then there was presentation of the 7-year plan for this period of time, draft budget for the year 2017, draft contributions of the member states for the years 2018, 2019, and 2020 by Sergei Dutsenko. Results of the meeting of the JNR Finance Committee held on November 18, 2016 by S. Harizanova. Results of the audit of the JNR financial activities for the year 2015 by D. Korsakov. Procedure for implementation, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries decision on the suspension of memberships at Joint Institute of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and the Republic of Uzbekistan by Nikolai Rusakovich. Status of Joint Institute major research projects and their future prospects by Grigory Trubnikov, and information about Krakow synchrotron Solaris by M. Stankiewicz. Concerning the director report, the Committee of Plenipotentiary took note of the following. First, the recommendations of the 120th session of Joint Institute Scientific Council, the information presented by the Directorate on work towards attaining the goals of the current 7-year plan and towards implementing the recommendations of the Finance Committee and the decisions of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries, the preliminary results of implementing the Joint Institute Plan of Research and International Cooperation in 2016, as well as the main directions of the strategic development of Joint Institute for the years 2017-2023. And the information about current work to update the regulation for the JINR staff. Committee of Plenipotentiary approved the recommendations of the 119th session and 120th sessions of the Scientific Council and the topical plan of research and international cooperation for 2017. It also approved the 7-year plan for the development of Joint Institute for the period of 2017-2023. Endorsed by Scientific Council and by the Finance Committee. Committee of Plenipotentiaries endorsed the efforts undertaken by the Directorate towards integration of new and upgraded facilities, NICA, Super Heavy Element Factory, Baikal, Giga Volume Detector, IBR2 and spectrometer complex, computer center, into the European and worldwide research infrastructures. The signature of the agreement dated 2nd June 2016 between the government of the Russian Federation and Joint Institute on the construction and exploitation of the NICA complex of superconducting rings for heavy iron colliding beams, the work by the Directorate for the Organization of Implementation of this agreement, as well as the regulation for the implementation of the project for construction of large international research facilities of mega science class at the Joint Institute. It also endorsed the regulation for the supervisory board of the NICA complex project, the initial membership of the supervisory board, and its decisions taken on November 20, 2016. Concerning Severin plan for next period, presented by Nikolai Rusakovich, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries recognized the large amount of work accomplished by the Directorate to prepare the draft text of the seven-year plan and to organize its discussion at meetings of program advisory committees and at session of the Scientific Council. It noted that the draft budget plan of Joint Institute for this period of time ensures the implementation of the Institute's development plan for the next seven-year period, including the development of Joint Institute scientific and experimental base, engineering and social infrastructure, as well as a competitive level of staff salaries. Concerning financial issues, which were reported by Sergei Docenko, chief accountant of Joint Institute, and S. Harizanova, chief accountant of the Nuclear Regulatory Agency of Bulgaria, and by D. Korsakov, director of JNR's new audit company, Korsakov and Partners. Committee of Plenipotentiaries approved the JNR budget for the period for the year 2017, with the total expenditure amounting to $206 million. And the scale of contributions of the member states for this year. It approved the sums of contributions of the member states for 2017 and the payment of contribution arrears of the member states in this year. It determined the provisional volumes of the budget in income and expenditure for the year 2018, amounting to about $206 million. For the year 2019, about the same number, and for the year 2020 amounting to about $208 million, as well as the provisional sums of the member states' contributions for these years. It decided to compensate the budget deficit in 2017 arising from the unpaid contribution of Republic of Korea and Republic of Uzbekistan at the expense of other incomes and revenues of the JNR budget. It allowed the Directorate to index the salary and tariff parts of the compensation package of the staff members, taking into account the possibilities afforded by the budget in 2017, in accordance with the collective bargaining agreement for the years 2014-2017. It also approved the protocol of the meeting of the Finance Committee held on 18 and 19 November 2016, approved the financial rules of Joint Institute, and decided to set a working group of representatives of Republic of Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Republic of Poland, Ukraine, to develop proposals for the redemption of Ukraine's arrears in the payment of its contribution to the Joint Institute budget. It requested the plenipotentiaries which have arrears on contributions of the state which has these arrears to take urgent measures for their payment. It also approved the auditor's report concerning the functional activities. It took note of the plan of measures concerning the audit of the Joint Institute financial activities for 2015. And commission the Directorate to prepare comments to the audit, auditor's report for the next CP session. It approved this report for the year 2015. Concerning membership issues, the committee resolved to approve the procedure for implementing the decision, Committee of Plenipotentiary, on the suspension of memberships of Democratic Republic of Korea and the Republic of Uzbekistan in the event that full participation of these states has not been resumed until the year 2020, to consider the issue of memberships of these states in joint institute. It also appreciated the scientific report, status of joint institute measure research projects and their future prospects by Grigory Trubnikov and Krakow Synchrotron Solaris by M. Stankiewicz. It expressed gratitude to the organizers, in particular to the plenipotentiary of the government of the Republic of Poland, Professor Waligorski, for the high quality preparation and conduct of this session in Krakow. Thank you for your attention.
Any questions for Richard? Comments? Okay, thank you very much. And we proceed now with the report by Anatoly Sidoin on the Nucleotronica project.
Good morning, dear FAC members, dear colleagues. I would like to present results obtained by big team in realization of the Nucleotronica project, and I will concentrate it on the following my topics. I will speak very briefly about results of Nucleotron operation, preparation for baryonic matter at Nucleotron experiment, commissioning of new injection elements of new injection chain for the Nucleotron HILAC, mainly HILAC acceleration, preparation for booster construction and progress in the NICA collider design. And concerning to the Nucleotron operation, I will speak about statistic of the two last runs, briefly describe the shift.
Could you speak to the microphone? We don't hear you very well. Thank you.
Maybe such is better. No. I will speak about shifts during the run. Dedicated to machine development and a few words about nearest plans of the Nucleotron operation. And the run number 52 was started in the 2nd of June, and I report about first part of this run during last PAC meeting. Total duration of the run was about 650 hours. And the run was prolonged at the LU-20 and new 4A injector after Nucleotron heating about 2 weeks, and we prolong optimization of new polarized source parameters and LU-20 and new 4 injector parameters. The run number 53 was Nucleotron cooling was started at 26th of October. And it was the longest run in the Nucleotron history. We provided the run with total duration of about 1,100 hours. We prolonged work with optimization of polarized source parameters. We realized program for spin physics experiments. Some shifts was dedicated to test of baryonic matter and Nucleotron and MPD elements. We tested power supply, prototypes of the power supply system for booster with the beam acceleration and provided some experiments with stochastic cooling, development of the diagnostic and adiabatic capture. Main peculiarity of the last run is very high efficiency of the time usage, about 78% of the total run duration was dedicated to machine development and experimental program at the Nuclatron. And during this run, we started after 11 years, prolonged after 11 years our polarized program. And one of the most important results of the run is routine operation of new source of polarized ions with new Fourier injector of LU20, which was constructed especially for polarized beam acceleration. Here, example of the beam intensity during the acceleration period, and here intensity of the polarized beam of about 8 × 10⁸. It is about one order of magnitude less than design parameters, but we know the way how to improve this value. For this run, such intensity was more or less convenient for physical experiments. And this picture is showing the beam, the experiments with internal target in the frame of deuteron spin structure experiment. And we have more than 2 months of operation of new Fourier injector and new polarized source, and we obtained very important data for further development of these elements. From the side of machine development, during last run, we completed our long work dedicated to creation of new diagnostic tool. The goal is to measure betatron frequency in the nucleotron during acceleration, and this diagnostic consists of specialized diagnostic kicker, which excites the beam using special amplifier. Reaction of the beam is measured by pickup, specialized pickup electrodes, and a complex of electronics permit to restore evolution of the betatron tune during acceleration. For instance, here is presented fractional part of the betatron tune during half of second of the acceleration. And what is the Q meter now? During last run, we provide synchronization between RF and pickup signals. We provide excitation of one chosen bunch. To improve sensitivity of the method was used direct diode detection. This method was initially developed in CERN and now implemented at Nuclatron. The sensitivity of the diagnostic tool is down to 10⁸ elementary charges, and accuracy at maximum revolution frequency is better than 2⁻-3. It is enough to provide adjustment of the nucleotron. Another very interesting diagnostic tool was developed by Vyacheslav Zhabitsky. It is based on computer tomography technology, and by measuring of the RF signal and longitudinal signal from bunch, one can provide distribution of the particles in the phase plane, distribution on the particle distribution over the energy, and particle distribution over the phase of the RF system. And this diagnostic permits to see bunch formation step by step during acceleration. And very, very beautiful picture. I present here preliminary results, and you can see some rotation of the bunch as a liquid in the as a some kind of liquid. And our plans for the next year is preparation. Our nearest goal is to start BMN experiment, and our goal for the 2017 year is preparation for the booster construction and start of baryonic matter at nucleotron experiment with existing linear accelerator. We plan to provide 2 nucleotron runs. First run in February-March of this year, and we will start with source of polarized ions. to complete our program with polarized neutron beam, and maybe we will try to accelerate polarized protons in the nucleotron. And second part of the run will be dedicated to acceleration of lead ions, lithium, and carbon ions. And in November, December of this year, we plan to provide heavy ion beam for baryonic matter at nucleotron, and heavy ion like argon and krypton. And in 2018, we will start assembly and construction of the booster. From the side of preparation for baryonic matter experiment, first of all, we need to improve efficiency of the acceleration in the nucleotron, and one of the most important steps is installation of the bancher at LU24 injector. The bancher is constructed at the moment, and now it is under test in ITEP, and I think in summer we will have a possibility to install the nucleotron. We provided some investigation of adiabatic capture at the nucleotron. For baryonic matter at nucleotron, it's very important to improve the beam line from nucleotron to location of the experimental facility. And we tested synchronization system for this experiment, but this synchronization system is also chosen as the base for NICA as a whole. And concerning the adiabatic capture during two runs, we realized we prepared some technical measures and methodics of the nucleotron tuning and obtained capture efficiency of about 70%. Here you can see picture of the intensity during acceleration and about 70% of the circulating particle. Here magnetic field, this line is magnetic field. This line is the magnetic field injection at the plata of the magnetic field. And after that, adiabatic increase of the RF voltage and start of the acceleration. And we have capture efficiency of about 70% instead of 30% in standard operation of the nucleotron. And using this regime, we provided a few shifts with routine operation. And in principle, this technique is ready for usage at the nucleotron. For concerning two beam lines, we have about 160 meters from the exit of the nucleotron to BMN position. We provide some measures to improve vacuum conditions in this line, and maybe one of the most important points to provide stable supply of quadrupole lenses and dipole magnets located in this line. And during run number 52, concerning the power supply units are very old, and usual stability of the current during day and night is about up to 5%, which is not acceptable for operation of good experiment. And as a temporary measure, was developed some current control unit, and we tested this current control unit during run number 52, and this unit provides about 10 to the minus 3 relative instability, not higher than 10 to the minus 3 relative instability of the current. It is about one order of magnitude better than existing situation. And during run number 53, we tested prototype of power supply for new power supply, which is planned to be used for supply of the magnetic elements of the transport line. This unit was developed in Moscow and LM Inventor Company. And first operation was provided 22nd of November. And here you can see stability at the level of 10 to the minus 3. Our goal is have 10 to the minus 4. The stability was improved during the run, but to provide adequate adequate estimation of the source property, we need to realize more accurate current measurements. Related to creation of new injection chain for baryonic matter at Nukvatron, one of the most exciting results of last year was commissioning of heavy iron linear accelerator. This work was provided in wide international cooperation. General contractor was Bevatec company from Germany. Power amplifier was constructed in Tomco company in Australia. Low-level radio frequency was constructed, developed and constructed in ITEP Institute, and so on. And in October 2016, as a result of such effort, at October of 2016, the carbon beam from laser source was accelerated up to design energy at current close to design value, and at transmission of the accelerator also close to design energy. And general goal of this accelerator is provide 3.2 MeV per nucleon gold 31 plus beam at current up to 10 milliamperes. And at the moment, under construction, transfer line for heavy iron linear accelerator to the booster. Concerning to preparation of the booster construction, I will speak only about two topics: status of manufacturing of the magnets and status of the power supply system design. Concerning to all other systems, the progress was reported at last meetings, and electron cooling system and REF systems for the booster were constructed in Butker Institute for Nuclear Research, and we hope to start assembly of this system in the summer of this year. Concerning to the booster magnet production, we need to construct dipole magnets, quadrupole, doublet of quadrupole lenses, and corrector magnets. And number of the magnets is 40 dipole, 48 quadrupole lenses, and a few corrector magnets. At 28th of November of this year, of last year, the facility for superconducting magnets assembling and cryogenic test was commissioned, and you can see a picture and what is the status now. And after that, we start serial magnetic field measurements at the booster dipole magnets. And here you can see status of different elements of the magnet construction. We have some delay in this work, but not critical, in my opinion. And we hope to have 75% of magnets at the end of this year, and it will give a possibility to start construction assembly of the booster. Concerning to the booster power supply system, during last pack I reported about some experiments with prototypes. Three companies participate in the tender: LM Inverter from Moscow, from Slovak Republic and Poland. All three prototypes was tested in operation on superconducting load. During run number 53, with two of the prototypes was realized beam acceleration. Both units require some modification to provide more adequate parameters, and Poland source was transferred to facility for superconducting magnets and assembly to provide magnetic field measurements. Concerning to the NICA collider design, I will speak a few words about experiments at the Nuclotron related to R&D work for stochastic cooling of the NICA. I will say a few words about NICA synchronization system, which was tested at baryonic matter at Nuclotron, and dynamic optimization in the collider. And concerning to stochastic cooling, one of the main tasks, one of the most complicated tasks in the creation of the stochastic cooling is to provide good quality of power from amplifier. We decided to have amplifier consisting of many blocks with total power about 30 watts, and we need to provide very good accuracy of the phase inclination from linearly low has to be less than 5 degrees, and two prototypes of the amplifier was constructed in Belarusia in Gomel State University and was tested during this run, and we plan to prolong this work. Total price of the amplifiers is about half of the price of all system. And during this last run, we provided some methodical work. We provide measurements of all 8 pickup plates with the beam. We provided measurements at 200 harmonics and measured sensitivity of the pickup. It was provided first time with the beam at the nucleotron, so exact measurements. And these results is necessary to compare simulation, computer simulation, with real parameters of the pickup. Also, we investigated time of flight cooling. At a few harmonics, we measured beam transfer function. Here you can see example of Nyquist diagram at a few harmonics. And as a result, we developed this methodics and measured Nyquist diagram at 41 harmonics. And this information gives a possibility to analyze beam structure at the nucleotron and also all properties of the system. And final test of the system ability is related to friction force measurements. Here you can see results of the beam reaction of the, on the stochastic cooling system chain. Here you can see the same picture with some smoothing, and you can see displacement of the center position of the distribution function, this frequency distribution, which is related to momentum distribution. You can see some displacement and decrease of the width of the distribution. And using such experiments, we can investigate friction force. Displacement of the center position gives amplitude of the friction force, decrease of the width of the distribution function gives derivative of the friction force over particle velocity. During 52 run, we tested for first time segment of NICA synchronization system. It is R&D work for NICA synchronization system. And for NICA synchronization was chosen White Rabbit system. This project provides distributed accurate time system. Master clock is synchronized with satellite, and another clocks can be distribution at the length up to 10 kilometers, and we can have about 2,000 of nodes with sub-nanosecond accuracy. And one of the argument for this system is implementation of the system for FAIR facility, and we work with close cooperation with FAIR, and it is also important for us. And during run number 52 was tested first experimental segment of this system distributed at the length of about 1.5 kilometer, and a few nodes was used to synchronization of baryonic matter at nucleotron elements. Concerning to beam dynamics optimization at Russian Particle Accelerator Conference in St. Petersburg at 25th of November was provided some small satellite meeting. As a result, was decided, it was decided to establish distributed scientific group, including specialists from our institute, Budker Institute for Nuclear Physics in Novosibirsk, and ITEP Institute in Moscow. Leader of this work is Igor Mishkov, and as a result was prepared detailed plan of NERIST works with determined responsible persons from different institutes. And this work is in very intensive progress now. And I hope in the nearest future I will report, or somebody will report, the result of this work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Comments, Hans?
Stochastic cooling is a very important part for for NICA. And you lost Schulknow to Jülich. So what you showed here, you had him in. That means he is still participating in the stochastic cooling effort at NICA. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yes.
Other questions or comments? Maybe a couple of small questions. You, congratulations for achieving the polarized deuteron beam. Did you mention what is the fraction of polarization that you achieved in this first run?
I think it is a topic for the next talk.
Sorry?
It is a topic for the next talk, I think.
Okay. Now, you also talked about the booster. So 2017 is a major year of construction, but you mentioned some delay so that you will end up having 75% of all the units needed by the end of the year. Is this compromising the start of the starting or the commissioning of the machine in 2018, or?
Yes, I hope yes. We need big enough amount of the magnets to provide some combination between magnets during assembly. And if you will have at the end of this year 75% of the magnet, we will start assembly, and during assembly we will construct all other required magnets. And during 2019 we will have possibility to provide commissioning of the booster to complete assembly.
So you foresee that the completion of the booster will be in 2018, more or less, or?
Yes, yes. And at the end of 2018, we plan to start operation with cooling of the booster, and in the best case, maybe operation with the beam.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much. So we continue now with the report from the RAN coordinator, Evgeny Strokovsky.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me report about results of the passed runs passed in the last year. In total, we had two runs, and total duration was rather good, about 2,000 hours in total, and this is good from the point of view of users. So first of all, run 52 of the Nucleotron, the main goals are shown here. This run was the technical one. It was stopped a little bit earlier than expected for the main ring, but work with the polarized source and with the injection complex was continued until the planned dates. So the ultimate goal of the run was twofold. First of all, we wanted to revive the polarized deuteron beams and to start physical measurements with polarized nucleons and deuterons. That was the main task, but realistic task was in mind a little bit not so high. Nevertheless, all this has to be done with the new source of polarized ions prepared by a joint team from GINR and Institute for Nuclear Research. Also, we had upgraded injection complex with new elements which were absent up to the last year. All this was new, and everything might happen in principle when the complex will start to work. Fortunately, everything was passed smooth here. For the case of a good luck, we foreseen 5 experiments. One was for physics with polarized beam, and routine experiments R&D of R&D type for other experiments. The main results obtained during this run, as was reported in our users workshop in October of this year, was the following. This chain, source of polarized beams, modernized injection complex, everything was okay. Polarimeters, including low energy polarimeter and polarimeter at the internal target station, were prepared. And vector polarized mode, everything was fine. Vector polarization of the beam was measured by the low energy polarimeter approximately as it was expected. The statistics of this run was already shown. You have seen it. The total run duration was about 6,500 hours. This part was devoted to works with accelerator physics, polarimetry, and R&D of users. Unfortunately, run was stopped for the main ring, not as it was planned, and it was stopped just when BMA-10 work started, so BMA-10 did not have a technical run in the Nucleotron Run 52. Other setups worked well. The next run, the longest run in the, for the Nucleotron, was done in the last year, Run 53. It was rather good from the point of view of physicists. And the main points were the following. Work with polarized beam, measurements within the ALPOM-2 project, and measurements within the DSS project, and other projects working with internal target station. Also, of course, some works were foreseen for R&Ds and methodics, what is necessary for other projects we have in our lab. All the works were performed according to the topical plan, and statistic is shown here. It is rather good. More than 1,000 hours were devoted to work with physics and accelerator physics. This is an example from the very end of the run when BMA-10 worked at highest field, which was possible to achieve at the Nucleotron up to now, more than 16 kilogauss. And this was done with unpolarized beam. The typical intensity graph is shown here for illustration. And in total, you can conclude that almost all tasks were almost completely fulfilled, in the sense that in gray, it the planned time for users in this run, and in dark green, the time which users have obtained. You see that almost everything what was requested, what was planned, was fulfilled. 2 experiments at internal target station and ALPOM-2 have been worked with a polarized beam. Other experiments, other small experiments were worked at with unpolarized beam. This graph illustrates the diapason of intensity which was used in this run. It was up to 2 × 10⁹ for unpolarized beam, and around several units 10⁸ × 10⁹ with polarized beam, and the fields which users requested are shown here. So the machine worked at S at low fields, S at the highest fields which could be reached at the Nucleotron. So in general, all the users are satisfied and note the rather good stability of the machine and the rather good quality of the beam, as from the point of view of intensity, which was necessary for them in those experiments, as for polarization. Now let me show you a few selected results. Of course, all the data which I will show are preliminary. Data analysis is in progress in the experimental groups, and a lot of work will be done. Still, I hope that somewhere to summer, and of course, I hope for the next users workshop, experimentalists will report results of this run at those meetings, at seminars and those meetings. First of all, results from ALPOM2. ALPOM2 project is devoted to, the main goal is measurements of analyzing powers for reactions of polarized protons and neutrons with polyethylene and CH targets in multi-GEF region. Polarimeter is for new type. This is target. This is hadron colorimeter, which is suitable for detection both protons and neutrons. And here are clear examples of asymmetry they observed. This is clear signal that polarization indeed was both for neutron beam and for proton beams produced from the polarized neutron beam. And the work was performed by a joint international group from JINR, Slovakia, USA, France, and United Kingdom. Some of participants are shown in this picture. Many of them are familiar to you. Another picture illustrates more or less advanced analysis of the data obtained at 3.75 GeV over C for polarized protons scattered at the CH2, and you clearly see polarization signal. The asymmetry as itself is not so big, but measurements were done clearly, and everything is fine. I think it is a rather impressive picture, taking into account that the run was finished just at the end of the last year. In this experiment, also polarimeter at extracted beam in the F3 focus was restored and used. This is just its skin. This is PP quasi-elastic scattering. And detectors are shown here for illustration. And this polarimeter allowed to estimate, those are preliminary numbers still, the polarization, vector polarization of the beam was rather acceptable. And all the run, I would like to stress once more, of course, the beam quality, polarization values, etc., should be optimized, increased, etc., but they were acceptable for performing physical measurements during this run. So this is with CH2 target. For control, this is for carbon target, where analyzing power should be almost zero, so clearly sensitivity to polarization is seen. This is at another energy. Again, polarization of the beam was rather good, and this is answer on your question which you asked before. And this is almost all what I wanted to say about the work with polarization in the polarization part of the run, which was more than half of the full time of the run. And of course, some R&D results were obtained. Some of them will be presented in the dedicated talk by Capishin about BMA10. I will show a few results from other experiments. Some of them were done also in parasitic mode together with the main users. So at the MPD test beam, where R&D works were done with time-of-flight detectors, good results were obtained. For example, for start detector, they have obtained time resolution about 50 picoseconds. Several RPC prototypes were tested, and the RPC resolution achieved was about 60 picoseconds, what is rather good from my my point of view for experiments like BMA10, MPD, and others which are planned in the lab. The first beam tests were done also of the STS, by the STS group which develops STS, microstrip detectors for BMA10 and CBM. They have tested their prototypes at the beam. And here is shown dependence of the cluster sizes upon the beam inclination angle. Here beam is perpendicular to the plane of the detector, and then it was inclined, and you see how cluster sizes are changed, etc. So I stress once more, this was the first beam test of these prototypes. So in general, run was good, and since the last year, Gene again has a polarized beam at nucleotron in the multi-G region. And here is an old newspaper, Dubna newspaper, where it was noted that polarized neutrons appeared at nucleotron, that was in this date, after when nucleotron took stafette from the synchrophasotron. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments? You did mention that in run 52 had to be stopped due to an unexpected machine problem. Could you comment or elaborate a little bit on that?
There was a problem in cryogenic system, and the ring should be stopped. Big compressor was broken.
Aha.
The next speaker will explain.
Okay. All right. I will wait. Yes.
Can you say, please, what is the planned intensity and polarization of the polarized deuteron beam? So how this goal was achieved in these runs?
Okay, good question, because obviously, despite the beam quality which was obtained was acceptable, as I said, still there is a lot of room for further works on optimization of the increasing of the beam intensity, and the first step is related with the injection complex, where one important element is absent now, and this results in loss of intensity in three times, first. Second, optimization of the work of the source as itself, and this work is already going. People are working right now after all this New Year vacation, etc. They are continuing to work, and we hope that value of polarization will be increased. People are working on this to the next, just to do this before the next run. That concerns not only vector polarization, but also tensor polarization. Some tests during that run were done with a tensor polarization mode. I did not mention this right now because of the lack of time. Still, this work is going on as well. So, we hope that this work will result in give good results. So this work is going on.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
We move now to the report on the infrastructure by Nikolai Agapov.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, dear colleagues. I'm going to talk about our lab's infrastructure, and starting with this picture to point that the main goal of such development is to meet all requirements of the new NICA accelerator and detectors. If you look at this online, you will see the main part of my speech. I would like to talk about construction of building, line for assembling and cryogenic testing of superconducting magnets, water chilling systems, liquid helium at liquid nitrogen plants, modernization of electricity system and heating facilities, and reconstruction of water pipelines, etc. Let's start with the construction of the Collider building. You can see that 9 organizations are now involved. They are a general contractor, joint stock company Strabag, and 8 subcontractors performing different types of work. At this time, the total number of engineers and workers is about 100. The blue color indicates number of workers. The red color specifies number of involved engineers from different companies. Next picture shows some examples of works. Construction of storm sewer, laying of cable lines and road tapes, hammering of piles. In general, the work is going according to the schedule. There is a small delay which associated with impossibility to peeling work during the runs of the nucleotron. But surely it will be eliminated very soon. The next building project is a new compressor station. It will have an area of 1,000 square meter and total electric power of motors 8.6 megawatts. This building is of key importance for the completion of our cryogenic complex. For the NICO project, as it's shown at this picture, in there will be located 2 screw helium compressors, 3 nitrogen turbocompressors, nitrogen liquefier with capacity of 1.3 tons per hour. Near these buildings, you can see gaseous nitrogen receivers, liquid nitrogen reservoirs, and 2 gas bags with volume of 100 cubic meters. In December of last year, the project documentation was finished by public joint stock company Cryogenmash and now successfully passing an expertise. So very soon we will be ready to announce the tender among construction firms. In frameworks of the agreement between our institute and Russian Federation about mega project NICA, erection of new center of innovative developments has been planned. The main parameters of this center are office space for staff of about 300 seats, a computer center, four facilities to organize applied research, meeting rooms, necessary infrastructure, and Congress Hall. At this time, several architectural solutions proposed by different project organizations are actively discussing. Here are 2 examples of offered solutions. Of course, all these new buildings require of heating. As you already know, over the past few years, more than 2 kilometers of main heating pipelines have been reconstructed. Enclosed in the ring, they will guarantee a reliable heating of all existing collapsed buildings. Nevertheless, it is expected that additional heat loads of the new buildings will be about 11 gigacalories. In other words, total loads of our lab must be doubled. Of course, we setting goals to the designers and power engineers to reduce these loads, and the results are waiting. But the new extra works will be required in any case. In this picture, the existing pipelines of heating from the Eastern Thermal Station is marked in red. You can see that territory has only one input up to now, For the new buildings, it is necessary to make the second input and increase the diameter of main lines from point A to point B from 5 to 600 millimeter. Besides that, the Eastern thermal station is need to upgrade the existing boiler and install two additional water pumps. Let's turn now to our lab's workshop. In recent years, one of the buildings has been subjected to complete renovation. The goal was making a new facility for assembling and cryogenic tests of superconducting magnets for NICA and FAIR. It is good news that in November, the official ceremony of opening this high technology line was held. Let's point the main production area. Incoming expansion zone, superconducting cable production hall, superconducting coil production area for assembling the magnet, area for the magnetic measurement under the room temperature, leakage test area, area for mounting superconducting magnet inside cryostat, and cryogenic test vents. Operating plan for coming years includes the assembling and testing of 88 dipole and quadrupole magnets for NICA booster, 166 magnets for the collider, and 175 quadrupole magnets for CIS-100 synchrotron for FAIR project. Totally, it will be more than 400 elements. This is a very busy schedule. As can be seen from this picture, only the cool down time of the magnet may be more than 33 hours. Therefore, interruption extremely unwanted. During the last nucleotron run, cryogenic complex has provided all planned works at the testing line concurrently with the operation of the accelerator. This was the first time, and I think that it is a big step forward. Until recently, we had another reason of long breaks. As you know, since the establishment of our institute, cooling of all equipment at the lab has been provided by water pumping from the Dubna River. So, over the long periods during the spring floods, it was not possible to implement nucleotron runs to produce liquid helium and nitrogen and test the new superconducting magnets. The good news is that such breaks is not planned for the next spring. For the existing compressor station of 4.4 megawatts, the closed cooling system based on cooling tower has been erected. For this system, was not required any new buildings. All equipment located in the existing compressor hall and consists of such main parts as 20 cubic meter vessel, two water pumps, and two cooling towers. You can see here this equipment. Now we are planning to build two more operating independently systems for the magnet of experimental building 205 and for the new compressor station. Let's move on to cryogenic system. I hope you remember that NICA helium cryogenics will be based on liquid helium plant that was built earlier for the nucleotron. Our main development goals are increasing the total refrigerator capacity from 4 to 8 kilowatts at liquid helium temperature, making a new distribution system of liquid helium and ensuring the shortest possible cool down time for free accelerator. These goals will be achieved by means of additional helium liquefier with capacity of about 1,000 liters per hour and satellite refrigerators located near the accelerator ring. If you look at this, you can see the most important installations which will be appear while updating. You can see here new helium slew compressors, helium liquefier with capacity of 1,000 liters per hour, draining and oil purification units, nitrogen recondensers of the booster and nucleotron, nitrogen turbocompressors, nitrogen liquefier with capacity 1.3 tons per hour, and 40 cubic meter liquid helium tank, and satellite refrigerators of the booster and collider. The green color indicates the already manufactured and delivered equipment. Blue color marks the parts with design completed and manufacturing started. Red color points pilot units of equipment which design and which design is continuing. During the last year, there were two important happenings in the development of cryogenic of the lab. The first one was successful first run of the new helium liquefier. This liquefier represents the next generation of Russian large-scale helium cryogenics. It was specially designed to meet the needs of NICA complex by joint stock company NPO Gelimash, and now it is the greatest on productivity in Russia. The second event, I must point a very positive result of simulation of peak heat loads from superconducting magnets. Until recently, we were a little bit worried by follow occasions. In total, the time average heat loads from the accelerator magnets is 6.7 kilowatts. But these loads will be jumped up to 9.7 for 3 minutes every hour at the moment of injection into the collider. During the last run of the nucleotron, we have simulated this process of load increasing. These graphs below show expansion turbine temperatures of the refrigerators in this technical experiment. You can see that deviation from the normal mode were minimal and operator's intervention was not required. Let's now talk about electricity system. You can see here very detailed plan of reconstruction of four electric networks and substation. This is the cable lines, main power transformer station, substation. This plan is being actively implemented. For example, this picture shows a process of the construction of two parallel 6 kilovolt cable lines from the main power transformer station. Now this line are completely ready. The existing main power transformer station is 19 megawatts. At this time, this capacity is almost completely used. Estimated increase of capacity for the booster is 1.2 megawatts, for the collider 6 megawatts, and for the compressor station 8.6 megawatts, totally about 15 megawatts. for more power, it was decided to replace three existing transformers by two more powerful. After that, the total possible load will increase for the required value. You can see here the main parameters for this transformer. Rated power, maximum rated voltage, total mass, and so on. At the end of the last year, a tender for supply of this equipment was finished. As a result, the contract with joint stock company Siemens transformer is now in preparation. This company located in Voronezh and subsidiary enterprise of the concern Siemens in Russia. So I hope that was able to show that all direction of the infrastructure is at our lab is developing in right pace, and soon instead of the real photo, we will see this future photo. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. This is now open for comments and discussions. Hans?
You showed this beautiful architecture for the Center of Innovative Developments. Is that part of the Mega Science Fund? Or can that be self-financed?
It's the part of the agreement with Russian Federation and Institute.
Uh-huh. So not self-financed.
No.
And the other question is, Academician Baldin was very smart, and when he had the helium liquefier for the nucleotron, and the nucleotron was not running, he produced liquid helium and sold it on the market. What are you doing with the huge helium liquefier when you are not using it because Nika is not yet running?
No.
Let me answer on this question. So it was a time when it was not, it was big deficit of the resources at our institute, and Baldin has found a solution how to provide necessary resources to complete the nucleotron. Now we are in opposite situation. Not in opposite, but we are not going to do any commercial deal with this because we should fully dedicate it to the, our scientific reasons and to construction of the nucleotron with this, this equipment. We have no extra power and the facility for selling any product of our helium.
Okay. Further questions or comments? Okay, back to this new building that is under design now. Is that also going to be a building that will address the needs of outside users?
Yes.
And where will it be located?
It's near existing entrance to the lab.
So it's not close to the Nika complex?
No.
Okay.
May I?
Sure.
I would like to mention, to make remarks here, that it is now discussions about the kind of architecture, about the completion, the construction of that, so it is not yet decided. It is a problem in discussion.
Well, I understand that very well, but I think this is a great initiative to have a building that will be dedicated to the users and also outside users. Another small question. You said that now the facility for the construction of superconducting magnets is officially open. Have you already constructed one magnet that goes through the entire chain up to the testing, and what was the performance along the entire chain?
I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
My question is, at the facility for magnet construction, have you already constructed one unit, dipole, quadrupole, whatever, that went through the entire chain of cable production and magnet production and test and cooling, all the chain, the entire chain?
I can comment because I have fresh, every day renewed the statistics. So we fully completed 6 modules for dipoles. It means that they tested, certified, and are ready for the installation.
So they fulfilled the specs.
Yes. And one module for quadruple doublet. Module means that there are two quadruple lenses in one cryostat. So these babies are certified and are waiting for the installation in the tunnel. And as the previous speaker told, Anatoly Sidorin, in order to start the assembly, we need at least half of all magnets, because in this situation we can pair. You know, of course, that every magnet, every quadrupole are different in some case. Some sub-millimeters or some field inhomogeneity, etc. So each of them is absolutely unique. That's why in order to start the assembly, we need to have at least half of all magnets. And I think that in autumn this year, we already run into this situation and will start the pairing of the magnet in the tunnel for the booster.
Now, a related question. You mentioned that in total you need to construct something like 400 units. What will be the capacity of the facility? How many units per, I don't know, per week, per month can you produce?
I think that it must be 2 units per week.
That makes 100 units per year, so that means about 4 years.
Yes, but when you say about 400 something, this is not only NICA, but also FAIR. Right. This is everything as a sum. Yeah? For FAIR, we need to deliver 175, I think, something like this, 175 units. So the total sum is a bit more than 400.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, so now we are going to break for a coffee, and we should be back here at 11, so that's a little shorter coffee break, but...